Now for the symbol of the puff. The puff works on a quite different principle. The wheel of life, as representing the reactive mind, works on the principle of round and round, over and over again, repetition. But the path works on the principle of not round and round, but up and up, indefinitely. And there are many formulations to describe or to depict this sort of up and up process. And I'm going to take this evening only one of them, which happens to be perhaps almost the best known. And that is the formula of what is known as the seven Bodhiyangas, the seven limbs or links in the process of enlightenment, or the process of the creative mind as it soars ever higher and higher in the direction of nirvana or the direction of enlightenment. Now, the first of these links, the first of these limbs, as it were, is what is called smriti, which means mindfulness, which means recollection, which corresponds, we may say, to awareness, or self-awareness. And as I've already indicated, as I've already suggested, the spiritual life, or the higher evolution, if you like to call it that, begins with just this. Most of the time, normal people are conscious, but we may say they are not self-conscious. They're in a sense aware, but they are not self-aware. They don't remember themselves. And as I've said, they are, as it were, all the time asleep. So the first step, the first stage, the first Bodhiyanga is what we call this awareness, or this mindfulness, or this becoming not self-conscious in the psychological sense, but self-conscious in the sense of conscious of ourself, and realizing ourselves, being aware of ourselves, as a living and a growing person. So this is the first Bodhiyanga. Then the second one, what we call Dharma Pravichaya. Dharma here means simply mental states, not doctrine or teaching, mental states. Pravichaya means analysis. So this link, this Bodhiyanga, means the analysis of mental states. Having become aware of ourselves, remembering ourselves, what do we then do? We start looking at our mental contents. We start looking at our mental states, not only looking at them, but sorting them out, trying to make up our minds, trying to determine what mental states are of a reactive nature, what mental states are of a creative nature. At least awareness having been developed, the seed of awareness is there, the seed of creativity is there. So we, at this stage, try to sort out, try to see how much in us there is of the reactive mind, how much in us there is of the creative mind, and distinguish these two quite clearly. And know, as it were, from moment to moment, when we're being reactive and when we're being creative. And at first, of course, we shall find that most of the time we are being or have been reactive. Very often we know only in retrospect. But sometimes we shall know, or we shall become aware, that we have been or we are not reactive, but creative. And in this way, we sort out our mental states. This is Dharma Pravichaya. And then the third Bodhiyanga, the third link, is what we call virya, or energy, or vigor. And this is very important indeed. It's not enough just to contemplate these different states. It's not enough to see just to what extent the mind is reactive, to what extent it is creative, and so on. We have with vigor and with energy to cultivate that which is creative, to make it more creative, as it were, to release more from within and gradually minimize that which is reactive. So this requires a tremendous effort all the time. Most of us are only too ready to, as it were, rest on our oars. We make a tremendous spurt sometimes. Well, we attend a meditation class on Monday. We have a lecture on Tuesday, and Thursday another meditation class, on Friday maybe a seminar, before we make a tremendous effort. But then we take 2 weeks off, and we're not seen again. This is what happens most of the time. People can make an effort, but it's in fits and starts, in bursts of enthusiasm, but the slow, steady, sustained effort, this is usually not there. So we go a little bit forward, then backwards slide. go a bit forward again, slide back even further back. And this is the sum total of our spiritual life most of the time. So unremitting energy or vigor is necessary. All the time awareness, all the time analysis of our mental states, whether reactive or creative, and all the time vigor and energy and this effort, this attempt at least, to increase the creative side and to gradually weed out, to cause to wane away the reactive side more and more. Then fourthly, what we call preeti, often translated as rapture, but it's more like joy, it's more like ecstasy. It's a sort of ecstasy or joy which just comes welling up within us, especially at the time of meditation, when we have made an effort, when the creative side is functioning, and all the energy which was blocked formerly in the reactive process of the mind is released from that process and wells up into the creative process of the mind. And then we experience that as an intense sort of psychophysical rapture or bliss, which may even be experienced in the physical body. I've spoken about this on other occasions elsewhere, so no need to go into it very much today. And then next, the fifth link, prashrabdhi, which is literally calm or pacification, but I sometimes render it as tension release. At the stage of rapture, there's a mental experience of bliss, a physical sort of counterpart of that, but in this stage, the physical side calms down, and all that is left is a state of bliss and happiness and joy felt within. And one may even be at this stage quite oblivious to the physical body. And that brings us to the sixth Bodhyanga, the sixth link in the chain, as it were, of the creative mind, and this is samadhi. Usually samadhi means one-pointedness of mind. Here we can take it to mean not just concentration, not even just meditation in the ordinary sense, but as it were the harmonization of all the forces of our mind, both conscious and unconscious, the bringing of them together, sort of union of opposites about which I was talking the day before yesterday, on an ever higher and higher level. Sometimes people think that samadhi or concentration is the forcible fixation of the mind on a point. They say, for instance, well, you take some material object, like this, say a bell or a matchbox, and you concentrate on it. So most people just look like this, and they think that they're concentrating, but this has got nothing to do with concentration, not forcible fixation of attention. Concentration, samadhi, really means the harmonization of all the forces of the mind, conscious and unconscious, a sort of marriage, if you like, between the forces of the depth and the forces of the height, the unconscious and the unconscious, the masculine and the feminine forces, the yin and the yang, a sort of two-in-oneness of all these forces at the highest possible level. So that there's integration, so that there's harmony, so that in a sense there is beauty. So this is all covered by the term samadhi. And then seventhly and lastly, upeksha. Upeksha means literally equanimity. It's not the same upeksha that we have in the four Brahma Viharas, where we get metta, karuna, mudita, upeksha. That's on a lower level. This is on a higher, more metaphysical, transcendental level. So here we may say upeksha means the state of complete equilibrium of the mind, complete stability, if you like, axiality of the mind, centrality of the mind, on the highest possible level, so that it cannot be moved. So that the mind becomes, as it were, like a great ball, like a great globe, from which everything, as it were, bounces or slides off. Nothing can throw it out of gear, nothing can, as it were, affect or upset is perfect stability and equilibrium. So this sort of upeksha the Buddha exemplified when he sat beneath the Bodhi tree in meditation, and when Mara, the evil one, launched against him all his armies of hate and fear and greed and jealousy, and he was unmoved, untouched, unstirred by all that. So this complete equanimity and stability of mind at the highest possible level, this is what we call upeksha. And it's out of this equanimity at this level that the highest of all kinds of creativity springs or arises, which is what we call compassion, born of the enlightened mind, the compassion which directs itself after, as it were, enlightenment to the good and the welfare of all sentient beings. So these seven bodhyangas, awareness, discrimination between reactive and creative mental states, energy, rapture, then tension release, samadhi, and finally equanimity, these illustrate, just illustrate the whole process of the creative mind. They demonstrate how the creative mind functions, how it doesn't react, how it acts, how it goes, as it were, from perfection to ever greater and greater and greater perfection. Not reacting round to an opposite in a cyclical fashion, but going up and up as well as round and round in a sort of spiral.